From Acts chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, read down through the ninth verse, for we have here the first account given us in the Bible after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Read it again with me, will you? Everyone read it out loud. Verse 1 through 9. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Hallelujah. Now, we want to notice, we began yesterday, of course, by showing that Peter and John, one of the great fruits of Pentecost, it had brought them together. Peter and John went up together. Hallelujah. And beloved, there's nothing like the power of the Holy Ghost to bring our hearts together. Together to believe God. Together to work for God. Together to see Jesus glorified. You see, it takes something to bring any people together for any common cause. Something that they're all interested in, something worthy, so they think. In fact, there are many causes which aren't worthy. Think of communism, but yet, how people unite under such a cause as that, and even give their lives, you know, even give their lives and everything for such a cause as communism. But there is a spirit behind that. Of course, it isn't the spirit of truth, it's the spirit of error. It's the spirit of deceit, you see. But men are blinded by it, and men are deceived by it, and once that spirit grips them, they'll almost go to any length to promote that cause. Well, I've often thought and said too, I suppose, if men can do that under such a cause as communism, how much more should we be able to unite our hearts and give ourselves unreservedly to this wonderful cause of our Lord Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. For, beloved, we know it's based on truth, not error. We know it's based on light and not darkness. It's based on faith instead of despair. I mean, everything's going for this. It's the greatest cause in the world, isn't it? The cause that we're coming together for. And I believe, beloved, this is the true secret, perhaps we could say, of real spiritual unity and harmony, is for all of us to let the Holy Spirit work in our hearts, to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. I'm sure that's what's happened here. Peter and John going up together, the Holy Ghost had filled their hearts with love. You know, Romans 5:5, it says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's impossible to get truly filled with the Holy Ghost without having the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Isn't that true? Oh, of course, when we're saved, we love God, we love one another. That's true, but say, when the Holy Spirit comes in, oh, praise God, that love, it just finds a new dimension. It finds a new fullness. The Holy Spirit sheds it abroad in our hearts. Hallelujah. And so we see Peter and John going up together, brought together. No longer looking at each other, you know, expecting something to go wrong like they had before. I told you, Peter and John, they were just two different personalities. They were a personality clash going somewhere to happen. I mean it. They really were. Those men were so different. Peter was so quick-spoken, and John was so judging and vindictive. Now, you get two people like that together. Peter's bound to say something wrong, and John is bound to criticize it. And then you have trouble, you see. Big trouble sometimes. But the love of God, you see, does something. Now, let's bring it down to us. All of us are so different, you know. As a rule, a husband and wife, we're different. We're our different temperaments, you see. And we all need a baptism of love, you see, because love covers, the Bible says, a multitude of sins. Amen. And the love of God, though, it brings that healing. It brings that balm. It brings this togetherness. Hallelujah. Beloved, there must be a togetherness. God's people must have a harmony. There must be unity. There must be a blending of our hearts together in the love of God. If the cause of Christ is to go forward, this is something that's indispensable. This is something we've got to have. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you belong to the church. Oh, he didn't say that, did he? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you love one another. You love one another. And oh, beloved, that's what draws people. Oh, I thank God for the love you folks have here in this church. Don't you lose that love. And I want to tell you, you've got to contend for it. The old devil will try to steal it from you. He'll try to somehow hinder it. But if you'll keep that love flowing, keep it flowing, why, it'll keep things healed up, and it'll keep things in a place where there'll be joy and victory and strength. Hallelujah. We must have the love of God. And beloved, the secret, as I say, is keeping filled with the Holy Spirit. If we'll all just keep filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll keep shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts. I believe a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit solves, beloved, a tremendous amount of problems that we probably would never get fully solved, you know. Really, the work of God is a work without the power of the Holy Spirit, without this mighty influence of heaven. It's a work that is too demanding, it's too exacting. People wear out trying to do the work of God sincerely, very sincere. But without the moving of the Holy Spirit, dear friend, there's so much opposition. There's so much forces of evil to push back against the work of God. If we're trying to do it with just effort of self, beloved, we would soon wear out. We would be unable to carry it on. Amen. I've often thought of it. It's kind of like a ship when you get it out of water. It's the most helpless thing you'll find. You've seen them, you know. A ship dry docked, you know. And I want to tell you, when a ship is out of water, it isn't going anywhere. That's right. It just isn't moving. Isn't that true? But yet, you know, a ship in water, that is still the cheapest transportation in the world, because the water, of course, buoys up the ship. It's the easiest move, slides through that water. Seemingly, it doesn't matter how much the cargo, if the water be sufficiently deep. Hallelujah. Of course, the more cargo, the deeper the water better be. Amen. Amen. praise God, as we yield to the Holy Ghost, dear friend, this Holy Ghost river that God's pouring out in these last days, it'll bear up all the ships we can put on it. Hallelujah. It'll carry all the cargo as we'll just let the Holy Ghost move. Hallelujah. Oh, you see, when we let him move in our hearts, we yield to him. He lifts us up. He lifts up the whole work of God, and we move forward with an ease and with a joy and with a lightness. It puts a spring in our step. Hallelujah. The work of God no longer is dragging and stuck on sandbars of unbelief. We're moving down the stream. We're able to help others because we're out in the river of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I still believe the answer for these last days is the precious gift of the Holy Ghost that God promised that he would pour out in a special way in the last days. Hallelujah. And I think that's what you see here. Peter and John are going up together. Oh, they've been brought together by this marvelous, wonderful sweetness of the Holy Ghost. Their hearts are blended together. Their desires are blended together. They're no longer thinking of themselves so much as individuals, though they still are individuals. The Holy Ghost has blended them together. I'll never forget. You'll appreciate this. We were near Chicago a few years ago, and I happened to have the radio turned on to that famous Moody station. It covers all that area, and it does beam the gospel out of salvation to that whole area. And they had an old-fashioned Baptist preacher preaching on this radio station. He was preaching at a big Baptist convention. Baptist ministers were there from all over the states, and they had one of their old-timers preaching to them. It's amazing. They still want those old-timers, and this one was one of their very best. I'm sure your pastor's read his books, Brother Vance Havner. He's written many books, and he was an early Baptist pioneer, preached over the hills of North Carolina and South Carolina, and he got on fire for God. He won many, many souls to the Lord, you know. And for a while he got off on modernism, and he lost that joy, and he lost out winning souls for a few years, but then he saw his mistake, and he came back to his first love, came back to that first consecration, and God anointed that man. And he's up in his 80s, and they still ask him to preach to them. And he was preaching over the radio, and he says, "Brethren," he says, "we realize that what we need is what they had at Pentecost." He was preaching from Acts, the second chapter, to a large group of Baptist ministers. He says, "Brethren," he says, "we've been tied together in our organizations." He said, "we've been bound together with our creed." He said, "we've frozen together in formalism." And he says, "we've rusted together in our traditions." And they were all going along with him. They know it's the truth, because that's what can happen. But he said, "Brethren, at Pentecost, they were melted together by the power of the Holy Ghost." And you could hear those Baptist ministers saying, "Amen, amen." Oh, beloved, we can thank God that there's something that can melt our hearts. Beloved, melt us together. And you know the picture I got, you men will appreciate this, is welding two metals together. You know the way you do that, you get them hot enough till they fuse together, you see. And even metals that ordinarily wouldn't weld, you can take the electrode and you can add to them what's necessary to make them weld. And when you weld them together, the heat is so intense, and this which is added makes them so perfectly weld together, the metal is stronger at the weld than any other place. It'll break someplace else before it will break at a perfect weld. I see some of you men know what I'm talking about. You know the picture I got? The Holy Ghost is God's divine electrode. And you and I, though we're all like different metals, yet as we yield to Jesus Christ and we begin to worship Him, the Holy Ghost, that heavenly electrode, touches our hearts and we're welded together in the love of Jesus Christ until we feel closer together than even people in their own families. You still love your relatives, but you don't have the sweet fellowship you have like you do with the people of God, you know. You go see your loved ones and you say, "How are you?" You love them, you kiss them, and then pretty soon you, "Well, I guess we better go home." I mean, if they aren't Christians, you don't have, I mean, know what I'm talking about, you know. But when you get with God's people, well, you just wish you could just stay all day. Hallelujah. Because there's that love, there's that fellowship, there's that bond. Hallelujah. And what is it? Why, friend, it's God's divine electrode. I say it reverently, that He's brought to bring us together. All of us are different, and God doesn't do away with our personalities, but the Holy Ghost helps us to blend together that Jesus Christ be lifted up. And you see, you lift up the Lord Jesus in that way that your personality lifts Him up, and I lift Him up, and you lift Him. It takes a whole body to lift Him up fully. That's why a church filled with the Holy Ghost can make a far greater impact on a community, because everyone's lifting up Jesus and they get a fuller picture of this wonderful Lord. Our Lord is so wonderful, it takes us all to reveal Him. Hallelujah. Oh, that's why we love testimony services, and that's why we give expression in our services to people to take part, because everyone's lifting up Jesus, and this is what we all should purpose to do. This does away with anything that would hinder or you know, distract. We're not lifting up ourselves. We're lifting up Jesus. We preach not ourselves, we preachers, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And so it is when you testify, you're lifting up Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And beloved people, as they see all these different wonderful manifestations of God lifting up through our lives, being lifted up through our lives, it gives them the right concept of what Jesus is all about. Hallelujah. So this Holy Spirit, He's come to bring people together. Hallelujah. So God will be glorified. So Peter and John, they're together. And they're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit has done now here. He's brought them together. They prayed and they praised for 10 days, you see. Mostly praise. It said in Luke, the last chapter of Luke, it said they were continually in the temple praising the Lord. Let me turn to that. I believe I can find it. Yes, it says the 53rd verse of Luke 24. It says, "And they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Now, this is after Jesus' ascension till Pentecost. It says they were continuing in the temple. What were they doing? Well, they were praising and blessing God. You see, as they waited there for the day of Pentecost to be fully come, they were praising and they were blessing God. Why? Because they now were in faith. They were believing the promise that Jesus had given. And He told them to wait till He sent the promise of the Father upon them. So there they are, continually praising and blessing God. And now, right after Pentecost, they're filled with the Spirit. And here Peter and John are going up to the temple to pray. They're going up at the hour of prayer. And beloved, I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost in our lives purposes to make praisers out of us and prayers out of us. The Holy Ghost will help us praise God. He will help us to pray. How many know that's true?
That's true.
He'll produce praise, He'll produce prayer, and He'll produce power. In fact, you get praise and prayer properly mixed together, and it'll produce power.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you listening? I said you get praise and prayer mixed together, it will produce power, because praise is that element of faith. Faith in what? In the promises of God. Do you follow? Then prayer, of course, prayer is essential. But how many know, if you just pray without faith, why, that can be very frustrating. How many know you can even worry on your knees and get up feeling worse than when you knelt down, because we got our eyes on our problems so much that we forgot to praise the Lord and realize he's greater than our problem. Isn't that so? You see? But when we pray, I tell you, dear ones, it's a good thing, even if you have a big burden on your heart, it's a good thing to begin by just praising Jesus because he's your Savior. Even before you ask him about the burden. For the Bible says, let us come into his courts into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's our approach to God. Come in with thanksgiving, even before we ask. Now, in the New Testament, it tells us to let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So, you see, the thanksgiving is faith, putting faith with the request. Really, if we just were to ask without faith, there would be no response. There would be no anticipation in our heart. Real prayer presupposes that God's going to answer. Now, this is why we can come to God with such confidence. He said in Hebrews, is it about 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we believe he's going to help us. Now, isn't that the way your children come to you when they need something? They want food. They don't come whimpering and wondering if you're going to feed them. They come rather boldly, don't they? I'll say they do. they even sit down at the table just like they expect you to feed them. Amen? Because they have confidence.
They order you.
Yes, they put in their order, don't they? Well, why? Because they are so confident of your love, you know, that you're going to provide for them. Hallelujah. Well, what does it say in Luke chapter 11, about verse 13? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly
Hallelujah.
Father give what? Well, in the Luke 11, it says, give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. Give the Holy Ghost. For in giving the Holy Ghost, then, beloved, he's giving us that agency which is going to help us in all of our other praying. I tell you, to really pray correctly, we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, we can pray. Yes, we can pray, and we should before we're filled. But, friend, let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is to help us in our prayer. The worst mistake we could make is to pray and pray until we're filled and then stop praying. Now we have the one who can really help us pray. Now our prayers can really begin to count greater for the Lord. Peter and John didn't quit praying because they were filled. No, they were going up to that temple at the hour of prayer. They said, you know, let's go up there to the temple. Of course, you see, they hadn't got the full gospel church built yet. So they were going back to the old temple, you see, of worship that was there for the Jews. And, of course, the Jews had their times of prayer. They said prayers. But it didn't say they were going up to say prayers. They were going up to pray. How many know there's a difference between saying prayers and praying? You can say a prayer and your mind can be on the beans that you're cooking for dinner. You'll just be saying a prayer. Amen? But when you really get to praying, you forget about the beans.
Yeah.
Until they burn. You say, uh-oh, better take care of those beans. But, I mean, when you really get to praying, folks, why, our mind is engaged. The Holy Ghost pulls our whole being, and it takes a while sometimes, but this is the beautiful thing of being filled with the Spirit. We can begin to praise God and worship God and get into a spirit of praise and worship, and then with praise make this request known, these needs known. Pray for those that we're believing to be saved, the ones we mentioned that were here last night, the boys and girls that will be here tonight. Oh, when we get into a spirit of praise, then we can say, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving those boys. Thank you, Jesus, for saving those girls. Jesus, you died for every one of them. Jesus, we claim them in our whole being. The Holy Ghost, he brings an intensity into our prayer. He brings a fervency. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer. Fervent. You know what fervent means? I looked that up. I found that fervent means brought to a boiling point. When water is boiling, it's fervent. Isn't that true? But you know, whenever you see the steam coming out of the tea kettle, you can just rest assured there's a fire under it. I mean, you'll never find a tea kettle steaming and boiling on a cold stove. Amen? And you know, it's a beautiful picture because that steam that comes out of the boiling tea kettle, you know, why, it just begins to go right up. It just goes right up. I mean, nothing can stop it. That steam is going up. There's something about that steam now. It's lighter than the air. It's just going up. And friends, as we let the fire of the Holy Ghost, and Jesus said, I'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and what? And with fire. We let that fire of the Holy Ghost, His love, burning in our heart to purify and cleansing. But also that fire, beloved, it turns our prayers from just words into this something, this wonderful reality of real prayer. And it's lighter than the air. It just goes right up to heaven. Hallelujah. It ascends into the very presence of God. Beloved, no wonder fervent, effectual prayer accomplishes much. It goes right to heaven. It doesn't hang around on earth like a fog. Glory to God. Real Holy Ghost prayer, beloved, it makes its way right up to the throne. Hallelujah. Now this is why God wants to fill us all with the Holy Ghost, and He wants us all to stay filled so our prayers will be effectual. How many know we need our prayers to be answered, don't we, folks? We need our prayers to be effectual. We don't want just to pray. We want our prayers answered, and the Holy Ghost comes to help us. You see, in fact, we have so many scriptures. I'll give you a few. Let me give you these in Romans. Concerning this, Romans the 8th chapter, listen to this now, for the 26th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, the Holy Spirit in our spirit, in the human spirit, He helps us, beloved. The infirmity that we have, the natural mind that's so limited, the natural mind that can look at the problem and see no answer, the natural mind that can almost wonder if there is a way out sometimes. But when we let the Holy Spirit help us, we get out of the natural, we get into the reality of the promise, and we don't see the things as they are. We see the promise of God, and the Holy Ghost then, He begins to help us pray, not with the limited mind of the natural man, but with the fullness of the heart that's been filled with the love of God. And that love, it just reaches out and takes hold of that wayward boy or that wayward daughter. And we say, oh Lord, I know that You can do for them what I cannot even do. And you're able to believe God. And beloveds, the first thing you know, while the Holy Spirit has lifted you up into a realm of faith that you can't doubt now. You just know God's going to do it. You don't know how He's going to do it. Your mind will even sometimes try to get in the way and say, well, how's God going to do it? I don't know how He's going to do it. But your heart will say, I know my God's heard my prayer. I know my God hears my prayer. How many know what I'm talking about? You just know in your heart. You just know God's heard your prayer. Now, beloved, this is what we need in our lives individually and in the church collectively. We always need this praying in the Spirit until we're lifted above the limited natural mind into that glorious reality of the Spirit. Beloved, the spirit world is far more real than what we're looking at. What we see is subject to change. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And all the things He promised, they're the same. Heaven is the same. Earth is what changes. How many know that's true? How many know that everything on earth is subject to change? If you don't believe it, look at your picture you took 20 years ago. I mean, enough said. Everything on earth is subject to change, you see. But beloved, the wonderful thing of it is, when we get into prayer, we don't wait for the time element to change things. Holy Ghost praying intervenes and brings divine intervention. And God moves in and He changes things in just a matter of many times of moments. That ordinarily would never work out, perhaps, or would take years and years. But through Holy Ghost praying, we break the time barrier, and we break it off of the lives of the ones we're praying for. And God brings them out of bondage into freedom and lifts from their mind the fog of confusion through real praying. God does this. See, just like when Jesus turned the water to wine. Ordinarily, it takes water. Now, that's what makes wine, is the water. But it goes through a long process, the natural process. That water's drawn up from the ground, goes up into the vine, and it takes all summer long for it to form those beautiful grapes, you see. But that's water that came up through the vine, and after months and months, there's produces grapes. But you see, the one that made the vine, the one that created the water, He could say, fill those water pots with water. And when they fill them up to the brim with water, then He could say, now that they're full, bear out to the governor of the feast. And as they obeyed by pouring out what they thought was water, but as they poured, it became wine. Right. Amen. God had done in just a few moments what ordinarily would take months and months to do by natural process. You follow? Now that's what prayer does. Prayer brings the Creator into being. God goes to work on our problems when we pray with the Holy Ghost. God comes into the picture. Hallelujah. And beloved, a Holy Ghost people can expect miracles to happen. They don't go by a natural format. Oh, they plan, they prepare, but they look for those divine interventions that expedites the work of God, that moves it along. Like I said, the current of the Holy Spirit, it lifts up the whole work of God. It lifts us up individually. It lifts up the church, and we move along, you see, with a rapidity and with an ease that just isn't found apart from the Holy Ghost. I tell you, if you want to find the most worn out people, and also along with it usually goes gripey and grumpy and complaining, you find people that are spending most of their time working in the church without the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, it's something else. They just, now some of you know what I'm talking about. Just work for the church, work for the church, you're doing this, you're doing that. But friend, if it isn't in your heart, if you don't have that joy in your heart, why, you complain, because I've got to do this for the church, I've got to do this, and get sick even. Now, don't y'all get too quiet. But I tell you the difference. We get filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. And then, instead of just human effort, now we still work. But it isn't the same type of... It's moving now in that flow of the Holy Spirit. Love is involved. Faith is involved. What we do becomes productive. Hallelujah. Because we're in faith, you see. And so I believe that's what we see here. Peter and John are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. But you see, they don't have to pray through before something happens. It kind of gives you the impression they had prayed even before they went to pray. I said they must have prayed before they went to pray. They were already prayed up, because what we read, it says when they were on their way to the temple, as they entered in the door, it's where they met the man that was lame, sitting at the gate. And here's a picture for you. Here's a picture of what a social gospel can do, and about all it can do. That man had been there for years. They carried daily. The Bible says they carried him daily and placed him at the gate. And he received alms of those who went in to pray. And the church people had kept him alive for years. You know, they'd felt pity for him, felt sorry for him. Now, beloved, it's good to feel sorry for people, but that isn't enough. The Holy Ghost does more than feel sorry for people. We can feel sorry for people, but a social gospel, all it can do is just give them something to just barely keep them alive, but it doesn't alleviate their suffering. It really doesn't meet the need. You know, if there's anything that's hard on a man, is to have to be dependent upon everybody else. You men know what I mean. Here this man is. No doubt he has strong arms and shoulders, but here his legs are withered. He can't make a living for himself. Here he sits there every day having to put out a little cup or a hat. You've seen them. Now, beloved, that's hard on a man, the real manhood in him. He doesn't want to be a beggar. He doesn't want to sit there like that. But he's dependent, and he's looking at these people. And don't you know he's watched those people go in that old temple? Of course, the sad truth is that... The temple had long since dried up as far as the Spirit of God was concerned. It had become just a cold, formal thing, you know, their worship in that day. And he'd see them come in with their long, drawn faces, you know, going to the place of prayer. And then he'd see them come out, and their faces were a little longer. And, you know, and they'd give him a little money to, not to make him feel better, to make themselves feel a little better, that at least they gave something. They didn't really... Prayer didn't do any good, so they gave a little. And the WMC has probably gotten a new coat every once in a while. Dear me. Now, that's not wrong. That isn't wrong. But that man needed more than that. And here comes Peter and John, filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with faith, going up to pray, but there's in such one accord, and I believe this is the secret, you see, for the Bible says in unity there's power. One can chase 1,000, but two united, God says, can chase 10,000. In other words, our strength is tenfold, even two. How much more a whole church united in love? Oh, praise God. Why, beloved, any church has enough power, potential power, through unity and love and faith, to move a whole city, any city, for God. You have it. You dear ones have it. That's why I love these morning Bible studies. Everywhere I go, I'm encouraging people. Let's let the love of God so fill our hearts that the faith God's given us will flow out unhindered. Flow out unhindered by any hard feelings, unhindered by any bitterness, unhindered by anything. So that faith, there, it's there. God's given us the faith. But it has to flow through love. See? And the love of God is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. So it all comes back to what we're studying about. Being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. Peter and John filled with the Spirit. Filled with love. Going up together. They look at that man. Now look what happens. Peter fastening his eyes on him. Verse 4. With John. Notice it says, with John, said, look on us. Now I like that. I really like that. He didn't say, look on me. And I guarantee you, if this had been before Peter was filled with the Spirit, Peter would have said, look at me. Because the Holy Ghost is the only one that can help us get away from that self-image, you know. So conscious of ourselves, you know. Some of us, we're too conscious in one way to, you know, to lift ourselves up, and some in another way to defeat ourselves. Either way is wrong. To feel, you know, to feel like you can't do anything, to feel helpless and weak, that's just as wrong as the fellow who feels like he's big number one. Because it's still self. Whether it's little you or big you, it's still self. Now y'all are quiet this morning. But I tell you what the Holy Ghost does, you know it. The Holy Ghost makes Jesus so real that we can more or less forget about ourselves. Oh, we know we're still there, but does need to keep drawing our attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit keeps making Jesus more real, you see. And Peter, with John, he says, he doesn't say, look on me. He said, look on us. He's so conscious that he and Peter, and Peter and John, they're so got together, see, that Peter isn't conscious of himself so much. He's a part of something. Now, don't you feel that way when you come together in the Lord? You're a part of something wonderful. Your pastor gets up to lead you, you feel a part of it. You're, the love you have in your heart for God, the confidence you have in the Word, you see. Why, it's not just your pastor preaching, why, everyone's preaching with him. Someone stands to lead in prayer like some sister led this morning. I don't know which one it was, but I tell you, she was praying for me this morning. I was letting her say it, but my heart was right in that prayer. I think all of us, we were right in that prayer because she yielded to the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost in you, well, I forgot it didn't matter to me which sister it was. I didn't see. But I knew she was yielded to the Holy Spirit. And we were all praying through that prayer. We were all praying, weren't we? Hallelujah. And beloved, you talk about steam. I tell you, it's a wonder this roof of this church didn't bounce a little bit. That prayer went on through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because we weren't thinking of ourselves. We were thinking of Jesus. We were thinking of the love of God. And that Holy Ghost prayer, ooh, it just went right up to the throne. And right now, God's active on that prayer. Right now, the Lord is sending out angels and commissioning them, get busy. And those people are believing God. Now, get things arranged for that service tonight. Get those things ready so those young people will recognize how real Jesus is, because people are believing. God answers prayer. He honors faith. But can you see the Holy Ghost, how he plays a part in this? He's the one that somehow can strip us loose of self-consciousness and make us Jesus conscious. Hallelujah. Peter says, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. Still in the natural, he is expecting to receive something out of them. But, you see, that expectation, though in his mind it may be in a natural sense, he is looking to them expecting. Faith is an expectation. Now, all they've got to do is turn that expectation from natural something to a spiritual reality. Now, we do have to get people to look to us, because the worldlings, they can't see God, you know. They can't see spiritual things. They're blinded by the God of this world. So we do have to tell them to look on us, and we have to win people's love. We have to show them we love them, don't we? We have to show them we're concerned about them, you see. As a rule, you have to win people to yourself, like Brother Smith said about these children. Why, I think it's wonderful the way you let them come together, you let them play together and all of that. But those helpers, all the ones that are helping, those children are being won in one sense to those who are over them. They're getting confidence in them. They're getting confidence in this church that is here to help them. Now then, when once they get that, then it isn't hard for the Holy Ghost to turn that away to the reality of Jesus Christ, see. Do you see what you're doing here? I haven't talked to Brother Smith. I know that it's the way I sized it up. This is the basis of it. We're winning people not to the church. We're drawing them to the church to win them to Christ. And you're doing that in your life individually. Your relatives that some of them just have nothing to do with your religion, but still they kind of like you. They don't know why. You make them miserable, you know. But yet they feel you love them. And they hope you won't talk about Jesus, but yet they'll still come over because you'll slip your arm around them and you tell them you love them. And oh, they want that. They need that. They don't get that in cold religions. And you've got Jesus' love in your heart. And you want to share it with them. You can love them. You don't have to agree with people's ways to love them. Don't ever let people's wrongdoings cause you to push them away from you. You'll never win them if you do. How many know what I'm talking about? The old devil sometimes, he'll try to slip this in on us. He'll say, now look, you just let them know that if they're going to do those things, just don't come around you with those old smokes and those stuff and that beer on their breath. Well, don't forget, you once had something on your breath too. Most of us. Come on. Now, I'm not saying we're saying it's right. No, no, no. But beloved, Jesus ate with the publicans and sinners. Who was it that criticized him? The Pharisees, the real religious, the extra, extra religious. He eateth with the publicans and sinners. How can he be a righteous man? Doesn't he know that woman's an awful sinner that's down there washing his feet? And oh, there they are, just working Jesus over real good. We wouldn't let her touch us. We know what an awful sinner she is. And beloved, that old Pharisee spirit, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. It'll try to get hold of God's dear children till we'll pull our robes around us and pull ourselves away from the very ones that God wants us to love and win. So you see, there's got to be something pulling them more than even words. Now, there's a time for that. But there must be your love and your concern. It's invisible, but it's a lot stronger when they can feel that you love them and they don't want to disappoint mother. They don't want to let daddy down. They realize that daddy and mother really are believing for them and they know mom will really be hurt. That's doing more than, they may hurt you a time or two, but don't you quit loving. Friend, let me say this. If you really love, you will be hurt at times. And a lot of people today are missing it because they've taken this attitude, well, I've been hurt, so I'm not going to love people anymore. Beloved, Jesus didn't quit loving, and his hands were nailed to a cross. And while they nailed his hands to a cross, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Beloved, every one of you here this morning, I'm sure, at one time or another, have been hurt because you love someone. And they reject it. Don't quit loving. Don't pull yourself in a shell. Let me tell you, if you quit loving, you'll quit living. You'll quit living, for living is letting love flow out. Living is not what pours in, it's what's pouring out. Isn't that true?
True.
See, so don't quit loving, even though you've been, even maybe by close loved ones, don't quit loving. Don't quit loving. In fact, if you'll keep on loving, love will win. I said love will win. For the Bible says, I'm talking about that love of God in your heart. The Bible says love never faileth. It'll never fail. If you'll keep on loving, it'll eventually, men will fight against it, children will fight against it, but if you'll keep loving, it will win, it'll eventually win. But you see, beloved, what I'm getting over to you, the Holy Spirit, ours getting filled with the Spirit, praise God, it keeps us in a place where God can constantly be using us because love is going out of our lives. Peter and John didn't have to go into the church to pray and then come back to minister to the man. They ministered to him before they ever got in. And you know what happened? You know he went to church with them. Yeah, he beat them there. They didn't even have to ask him to start going to Sunday school. Oh, hallelujah! Can you see it? The Bible says the man leaped up. Immediately his feet, his ankle bones received strength. And he went leaping into the temple, praising God. And here comes Peter and John walking along. Isn't that one? Look what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Look what Jesus. And that man, and the place was full of people praying, you know, saying prayers. The Jews. And they're, whoa. And can't you just see it? I've often pictured that. Here comes this fellow all of a sudden, oh, hallelujah, look what's happened to me. And they're like, who's making such a noise in church? They said, that looks like that old crippled man. Well, they'd seen him for years sitting out there. That looks like that old crippled man. That couldn't be him. Well, that man's leaping. It is him. That's got to be that crippled man. He said, look, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Look. Well, if you hadn't walked in 38 years, don't you think you'd do a little skipping too? I expect we all would have skipped and jumped. And the crowd gathered around him. And then before Peter and John saw that the man was pointing to them, what did they do? They pointed to God.
They said, don't look on us. It's not by our wholeness that this man stands before you whole. They said, no, don't look at us. Be it known to you, it's in the name of Jesus, whom you crucified. This man stands before you whole. He said, and they just took occasion to preach a sermon, and there were 5,000, more than at Pentecost, that gave their heart to the Lord that day. Hallelujah. In those men's hearts, lifted that man out of failure into life again. Love does. We say love lifted me, but love lifts others through you and me too.
Amen.
Amen. I said love lifts others through you. And I've often thought, actually what they did, they just lifted that man back into circulation. He was out of circulation. And beloved, today we may not have so many like that, but many times people get out of circulation spiritually. Let's don't push them back. Let's don't let ourselves get critical. Let's reach out a hand and say, in the name of the Lord, God's going to strengthen us. Always identify with them, and let's reach out a hand and lift them. Let's be lifters. Amen?
Amen.
Let's be lifters. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. You fellas know the lifters on the car, they've got to keep working in oil all the time. Amen. Isn't that right? Those lifters, valve lifters, they keep working in oil. They don't, they start clanging. I've done stopped preaching. I'm sorry, please begin. Let's keep working in the Holy Spirit and the love of God so we can say, in the name of Jesus. Now I'm going to do that. How many this morning you come with maybe a little heaviness and you need a little strength from the Lord and you want God to lift you? Let me see your hand this morning. Yes. All right, lift it up. Right now in faith to the Lord. Just lift up your hand and say, I want God to lift me this morning. I want a lifting this morning. Hallelujah. Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it in faith. I want you to look at me. Don't close your eyes. Look, keep your hand lifted. Look right at me. Now I'm going to do this in faith. The rest of you can do this too. If you can all do it. Lift your hand in faith for someone else, if not for yourself. Will you do that? All right. I just feel impressed to do this this morning. Because in faith, anything can happen. When we get in faith, we're not limited to the natural. Now in faith, I'm going to reach out my hand in faith. Like Peter and John. And it'd be impossible for me to take all of your hands this morning. But in faith, I'm going to reach out and take your hand. And I'm going to believe that Jesus Christ is taking your other hand. And in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, in the name of Jesus, rise from your defeat. Rise from your feet. In the name of Jesus, rise from your weakness into strength. Right now, in faith, stand up to your feet in faith. Right now, stand up in faith. In the name of Jesus, stand. Stand on your feet in faith.